Well, Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word with these, your people. I thank you that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered, unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances. Lord, I thank you that you think through my mind, speaking through my vocal cords. You know the needs of these, your people, not I. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, I got some good stuff to talk about today. You know, we're going to talk about Jesus as always.
Amen.
You know, you want to talk. Somebody want to hear something else about Jesus? Well, then, you know, besides Jesus, and they have to go somewhere else. So praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to continue our lesson, and I need to do something real quick because I just realized that the stream does not have the thingy up that I need up. So I need to make an adjustment here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bear with me as I make this adjustment. Is that okay? Yes. So anyway, we're excited about what God is doing in our lives, how he is just doing great things for us. You know why? Because he loves us. He's a God that loves us and wants to do everything for us. As Sister Tony taught, you know, he created this beautiful planet for us to enjoy. Right? Amen. And so he wants us to enjoy this beautiful marble. That's what I call it, a beautiful marble. And as we continue to serve him, we're going to see him do all kind of wonderful things in our lives. Amen. All righty. I got everything corrected here. We're going to continue with our teaching on victories in your mouth. This is part two. So praise God. Praise God. Part one was absolutely excellent. So in this one, we're going to talk about how victory doesn't start in your feelings. It starts in your mouth. Okay. So in this teaching, we're going to look at how Jesus defeated every attack when he was driven to be tempted in the wilderness by the enemy. And that same authority he used, he's given us to use. And so we want to talk about that and, you know, how it is important to understand that our breakthrough is voice activated as we act on the word of God. So, all righty, let's get right into it. This is section one. Section one, we're going to talk about speaking what is written. Speaking what is written. So now, before even I started reading that, let me ask you this simple question. How can you speak what is written if you don't know what's written? You can't, can you? So as Christians, we need to read the Bible. We have apps now where you can actually listen to the Bible. Listen, just open up the app and push play and listen. Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you can just listen. I'm at work sometimes and I'll just listen. Listen to the Bible before you go to bed. Just put it on, you know, something in the New Covenant or the Psalms and just listen. Proverbs or whatever. Listen. You know, you can even say, you know, listen to the Bible in 1 year. Just listen. Amen. Alrighty. In Luke 4, 1 through 13, when Jesus defeated the devil by speaking the word during temptation. So that's what happened there. Every time the enemy came against him, Jesus answered with, "It is written." He spoke the word, and the word carried the authority. So when you believe that word in your heart, that word that you believe about carries weight and authority. As I shared this, you got to always remember this. The word believed is what has the power. The word that you believe in your heart is what has the power. So if you don't believe that word that you're speaking don't have power. Okay, but how do I get power for that word? Or for me to believe that word? How do I begin to believe that word? Well, it starts by meditating and saying it is so, and reading it and meditating on it And as you meditate on it and just say it with inside yourself, it begins to germinate on the inside of yourself and it will become faith in your heart. Did you hear that?
Amen.
So you got to meditate on it. So open up the scriptures and meditate on the scriptures. Very important. Praise the Lord. When you're at church and you hear someone teach, and I'm talking about scriptures. I'm talking about scriptures. I'm not talking about some cliche. I'm talking about they read a scripture and that scripture does something on the inside. That's a scripture that God's trying to get you to understand. So you go and you meditate on that scripture and talk to him and fellowship with him in that scripture because he's building faith on the inside of your heart. Listen, based on scripture. All righty. So now in Luke 4, 1 through 13, let's go ahead and just now read it. It says, then Jesus began being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, in other words, God sent him on a faith fight. He went to defeat the devil in his life. So now, put the devil in his place. And so, again, in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. So he was on the fast. And the devil said to him, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of, but every word of God, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Alrighty. So now, continuing on, it says, then the devil taking him up to a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So he gave him a spiritual glimpse. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and its glory. Remember, the devil, the god of this world, because of what Adam did. So this was a legitimate temptation. All of this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I wish. Stop. There's a lot of people that the devil has given them power and fame. This is real. There's some people that think they're doing the work of the Lord. They're not. They're actually being deceived. And, you know, a lot of times, well, we won't talk about that. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. This is what I want you to see, Jesus' answer. Get thee behind me, Satan. He said, for it is written. You see that? You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. So again, notice he did not say you. He did not say you and not I. He didn't say. Let me get you to understand what I'm trying to say here. He said, you, Satan. He didn't say, I shall worship God. He says, you shall worship. It is written, you shall worship. This was a prophetic statement that he was making. See, he could have said, I, but he said, you. Why? Because he was putting Satan in his place. Yeah. Satan was created to worship God. Now, we worship him too, but say, you are created. See, Jesus is walking as the God man in the earth. And so we also have Jesus through the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. So we're God men and women. And so the point I want you to understand is Satan's job is to worship God and to actually, he was created because he's a fallen angel to obey us. So he was telling Satan, no, you were created to worship God. Don't try to flip the script on me. Jesus was saying, I have authority over you. That was him releasing his authority. Excuse me. And you got to understand that. So you can't release authority if you don't know your authority. All righty. So the devil was created to worship and serve God and man. But Adam handed the devil the earth. Humanity became servants to the devil. Yet Jesus restored our authority. So our authority is restored through Jesus Christ. Him and him only. So without him, you ain't got no authority. You're still under the authority of the devil. So if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're still under the authority of the devil. And to have authority over the devil is to give your life to Jesus Christ and let Jesus be the Lord of your life. Then you can boss the devil around. Let him know that you're in charge again through Jesus, who is the King of Kings. So all authority has been given to Jesus. And we act on behalf of his authority. All righty? Praise God. Continuing on with Luke 4, 1 through 13, it says, then he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. Prove yourself. And he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written. Now he's using the scriptures. See how Satan is? Satan is now using the scriptures, trying to twist the scriptures against Jesus. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you and keep you. And in their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That was a quote. That was a true statement. That was a correct quote. And look at Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said, It has been said. It has been said. So he had counter scripture to counter the scripture he's trying to twist Jesus up with. See what I'm saying? Now, when he said, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Stop. Did you notice he said you? Mm-hmm. He put him in his place. Satan, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. He was telling him, I am thy God.
Yep.
See what I'm saying? You get that. And so when you, how do I say this, Holy Spirit? A lot of Christians misinterpret scriptures because they don't understand the order and the structure of God in certain areas of their life. So they'll misconstrue a scripture that Satan has actually given them. And so they're now walking and functioning in doctrines of demons and don't know it because they've taken the scripture and got people doing things that God didn't tell them to do. So Satan, Lucifer, was out of order trying to tempt Jesus. And he just put him in his place. I said this one time. I said this in the teaching and it's true. I said that gender does matter in the kingdom of God. We keep making it out like gender doesn't matter. He gave us genders for a reason. The scripture says that, yes, there's neither male nor female, nor Jew nor Gentile. But we're all one. What does that mean? We're all one family in God. We're all one family. We are one kingdom. Here, O Israel, you are one. You're not divided. You're one family. And that's what he was saying there. But if you take that scripture and you apply it incorrectly, you'll say, well, you know, a woman can do everything that a man can do, or a man can do everything that a woman can do. That is not a true statement. We are males and females. A male can't be a female and a female can't be a male. A father can't be a mother and a mother can't be a father. And so there's certain scriptures that are gender specific. But a lot of people just want to change the scripture around. Where did that thinking come from? The devil. They took the scripture, quoted it, and it's the same thing that Lucifer did in the garden with Eve. Has the Lord said, surely in it you shall not. See what I'm saying? He'll take a truth and twist it to make you think that you're getting a revelation. I'm going to say that again. He'll take a truth and twist it to make it seem like you're walking in a revelation. So if you don't understand the authority and the structure of the kingdom, you'll begin to do things out of order, out of structure, out of context. Jesus is Lord. And so there's a lot of scriptures that support certain things, but people override them. You got gay people thinking that they're saved. No, you're deceived. You're not saved, you're deceived. You understand what I'm saying? Well, if there's no meter, male nor female, then, you know, I can be a woman. See how you take a scripture out of context? Alrighty, I've said enough on that. So now, these three temptations of Jesus were direct challenges to his identity. It was a direct challenge to his identity. Do you see that? But Jesus knew his identity. And when you know your identity, the devil can't deceive you.
That's right.
When you know your identity, the devil can't deceive you. The angels of past, they did not hold to their estate and they went into to women. Listen, I'm teaching real good. They wasn't allowed to do that. A man is not to have sex with a man. A woman is not to have a sex with a woman. Why? Because he made gender. And gender is specific in this earth. In this earth, gender is important. When you get to heaven, it's not going to need, it doesn't, you're not going to need it because there's no repopulation up there. God creates spirit man in the earth through males and females in the earth. God creates spirit men in the earth through men and women, through males and females in the earth. We are co-creators with God, man. And so to not understand these truths and not understand your identity is the problem. And see, the problem is people got an identity problem. I didn't know we were going here today, but this is important for us to understand. We got to know our identity. I am a man, so I'm not going to try to be a woman. And a woman should never try to be a man. But we rule together as one man, as one team. Do you understand that? That's the way this thing works. Praise the Lord. So he attacked his identity. And when you let the enemy attack your identity, you'll go off and do things that God did not ordain you to do.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. That makes sense?
Yes.
All right. Seasoned with grace and love. All righty. Let's continue on. The spirit of religion influences unsuspected, good-hearted lovers of God by diluting the simplicity of the gospel. How do you dilute something? By adding too much of something, right? Huh? When you add things to the truth, you are diluting the truth. And so good-hearted lovers of God, by diluting the simplicity, key, the simplicity of the gospel with unnecessary words and keep them from truly seeing the simplicity of truth. They're ever learning and never spiritually understanding. Why is this important? Because if you never spiritually understand your identity, and who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus, you become unfruitful, unproductive, and you have no authority and power to defeat the enemy because you don't know who you are. And most people don't know who they are. They think they're their denomination. That's why they're a part of a denomination. And that's why they fight each other. We're of this and we're of that. No, you're one family in Christ Jesus. You have different assignments. Every church has a different assignment and purpose to meet a particular people group's need. I'm going to say it again. Every church has a different assignment and purpose to meet a different people group's need. If you have a heart problem, there's no need to go to the podiatrist. You're a goofnagel thinking that a podiatrist can help your heart condition. Do you understand this? Alrighty then. But they're all medical doctors. They just practice on certain parts of the human anatomy of the body. Praise the Lord. So there's things that we, as men and women of God, have been uniquely gifted to do to help people. We'll say it again. There's things that we've been uniquely gifted to do to help people. When God called me, he said, serve and teach my people. Well, I thought it was about how educated I had to be. No. Teach them how to live godly and live my word. Teach them how to believe in my son Jesus. Now I know my assignment. And so I'm very clear on my orders from heaven. And when you get clear on your orders from heaven, you get focused, you get laser focus and discipline, and then you begin to speak and do what God called you to do and operate in God's mode of operation in your lives. Is that making sense to you? Mm-hmm. But if you don't know your identity and your purpose, you're going to do anything. And that's what the devil wants you to do. And it takes humility to accept your purpose in God. Because it ain't something glamorous. All right, enough said on that. As a result, they accept things as coming from the hand of God in the form of false humility and penitence. That's what religion does. They mean well, but it's false humility and penitence, which takes root as pride in their thinking. Religion is very prideful. Jesus didn't have no pride. He knew who he was, and he wasn't fearful to rebuke the devil telling him who he was. You're holy, you're acceptable, and you're above reproach. You must know that. That's in the word of God. And so you don't ever accept anything contrary to that. Anything coming contrary to you being holy and acceptable and above reproach in God's eyesight is of the devil. Rebuke that type of teaching. Amen. That false humility teaching and always whining and crying, talking about how this and how that. It is sickening. Stop posting that junk. It's because of what you're listening to. You're not being built up in who you are. That's why you think something's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. So again, I'm going to read that again. As a result, these good-hearted people accept things as coming from the hand of God in the form of false humility and penitence, which takes root as pride in their thinking and in what they call service to God. The sad part is they don't know it. They are deceived. Help them, Lord Jesus. That's the devil. Because the God of this world blinds them with their own pride from seeing the simplicity and power found in the gospel of the cross, the gospel of Jesus. Yes. It's simple. But intellectual pride complicates and dilutes things with many words and fancy speech. And therefore the people get lost in the translation of things, of the simplicity of it. Section 1, speaking what is written. This is the simplicity of it. Speak what's written. Jesus said we would be condemned or justified by our words, but religion often discounts what he said. Well, it don't take all that. What did Jesus say? You said he's your Savior and Lord, then why won't you listen to him? There's things he said I haven't understood, but I say, okay, Lord, you said it, I'm going to do it. Remember, Peter was fishing. He let Jesus use his boat, and then Jesus said, now cast the net. In the middle of the daytime, Jesus, the fish going to see the net. They're going to go around the net. Nevertheless, he says, at thy word, yeah, I will cast the net. And he cast it, and it broke for the drought. So that seemed unlogical because he was an experienced fisherman. But what does your experience got to do with the word of the Lord speaking, telling you to do something? Amen. When you obey Jesus, miracles happen. Now, he wasn't breaking any natural law by casting that net. It just seemed stupid or illogical because the natural law says, through an experience as a fisherman, that fish are going to go around the net. They're not going to swim into it because they see it. So they always, fish with nets when it was kind of, dark a little bit so that the fish wouldn't see it. Are you listening to me? But Jesus said, cast the net. Well, Brother Larry, why would y'all do what y'all doing? Because Jesus said, do it.
He said it.
And miracles happen. Yeah. Go pour water out as wine. Well, that don't make sense, Jesus. When you obey Jesus, miracles happen.
Amen.
So obey what Jesus is saying here. He says you will be condemned or justified by your words. Located in Matthew 12, 36-37. It says, look, but I say to you that for every idle, that's unproductive word, every word that you're speaking that's not in line with what God has provided for you in Jesus, men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. What's the day of judgment? The day the devil comes judging you and trying to condemn you. But if you don't know what the words say, you've been speaking all this negative stuff, but you haven't been speaking in line with what Jesus has done for you, you're healthy and whole.
Amen.
Because Jesus died for you to be healthy and whole. You are prosperous.
Yes.
You are wise. Because Jesus is your wisdom. Jesus is your prosperity. You say that. Well, Brother Larry, I don't see no money coming. It ain't never going to come until you line your mouth up and begin to speak what is written concerning yourself. Speak what is written concerning your finances. Jesus said, do it. See that there's no intellectual stuff that you can get excited about. It's making you do something that appears foolish because it doesn't go against natural logic. How is it going to help you to speak and just say it is so? Then he'll give you the natural wisdom or something to happen for it to come. He already knows tomorrow, but you'll never walk into your prosperity that's in your tomorrows or a miracle today if you won't say what Jesus said, say today.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have your miracles if you don't start saying what the words say. Okay. For your words, he says, For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Think about it. You go to court and they ask you to testify. What you say is going to either justify you or condemn you. Mm-hmm. When a police officer seeks to arrest you, you have what's called the Miranda rights, right? And they tell you, they give you your Miranda rights. Anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of law. They told you that. Now tell me what happened. They are holding everything your big fat mouth is saying against you. You have a right to stay silent. And so when the enemy comes at you, when problems come at you, what are you saying? Are you saying that God has already made a way? Are you talking about the problem? And getting with your friends, flapping your lips, talking about, and the doctor said, instead of standing on what the word's saying and meditating on that and saying that on the inside of your heart and staying away from all those flapping lips that ain't saying nothing about Jesus. They don't even believe in Jesus. You sit at work talking all that old foolishness with them. Okay, I've had enough of that. We ain't gonna keep talking about that. But if you don't speak the word out of your mouth, are under your breath in the midst of trials, you won't be victorious. That's the secret to this thing. You have to say what the word of God says concerning yourself in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. The word confession means to say the same thing. Look it up. Yeah. It means to say the same thing. What do you mean? Say what the word is saying. Say what Jesus has done for you. Say what you have in Jesus. I know people are looking for something deep. But it's nothing deep here. It's a very simple thing that Jesus is asking us to do. And the average Christian won't do it because they're going somewhere where the enemy got them listening to all this intellectual jargon. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not my problem. I'm just trying to give you the answers. Okay. This is the pattern for every believer. What's that? To speak what is written. Mm-hmm. Speak what the word says about you in Jesus. Speak what you have in Jesus. That's the pattern. If Jesus used the written word to defeat the enemy, then we must do the same. Victory is not an emotion. Victory is not a feeling. Victory is the word we speak in faith. What's faith? Faith in what Jesus has done for us. We speak what the blood has purchased for us. If you do not know it, you are being cheated of your spiritual rights in Christ. You're being cheated of the truth. You're being kept from knowing the truth. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And you reject knowledge because you're looking for something glamorous, when right in front of your face right now is the truth. You want to be entertained with pretty words that make you feel good emotionally. I was there. I'm not preaching on nobody. I was there. I used to be there. I thought that's what effective ministry was moving people's emotions, getting them to clap and say hallelujah and run around the church. That's why I thought I needed an education. I needed psychology and figure out how to manipulate. It's you just manipulating people's emotions. How to connect. They have this marketing strategies now. You know, you got to brand yourself. You got to have a brand. Why? Because that's how Satan operates, is to get you to think about something. That's what marketing is to take up a space in your mind to repetitively get you to believe something or see something so that you can buy it, meaning buy it or to believe it. Then you get it in this junk. You know, you got a bunch of Temu Christians. You're buying that junk and you get it. What is this junk? It's called Temu Christianity. There's nothing there. It's junk. Okay. Ephesians 6:17 calls the word of God the sword of the spirit. This means the word is not just information. It's a weapon. Oh, man. And see, if you're not being taught the word, you're not getting, you don't have no weapons of war to defeat the enemy in your life. You're going to church and don't know no scripture. I mean, none. and you're posting junk on Facebook that is a philosophical statement of a man about God with no scriptural basis. It just, ooh, I felt that I needed that. But when you're going through a problem, you don't speak that cliche because the cliche don't work. There's no power behind it. And you don't know word, you know no word. So now you're left holding the bag, having no victory. And then the enemy uses unsuspecting people to tell you, well, you know, God is sovereign. You got to understand. And you accept things at the hand of God that is not from the hand of God. Just like in Job. God didn't do that to Job. The devil did. And he had a bunch of, he had three friends that didn't intercede for him. Because they thought God did, was doing it to him too. Okay. So again, in Ephesians 6:17, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit, which means the word is not just information, it's a weapon. It is the weapon of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit uses through your mouth to defeat the enemy, to enforce the victory Jesus has already given you. I got to say that again. It is the weapon that the Holy Spirit uses through your mouth to defeat the enemy, to enforce the victory that Jesus has already given you. Already. So you get that word in you, and you might be walking throughout the day, then all of a sudden that word come out your mouth, come out your spirit. I call it spiritual reflexes. If someone crosses in front of you in your car, you have a reflex to hit that brake real quick. But initially, the first time, your reflexes are slow. But the more you get into that word and you understand the spiritual battle, your reflexes become sharper and quicker. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? You can sense when the enemy is trying to do something in your life. Negative thoughts come in your life about someone. What is that? That's the enemy trying to get your mouth in line to be a prosecuting witness against that person. All of a sudden you have this thought about someone. You're like, yeah. Stop that. Flip that coin over. Start blessing them. You are not on the defense. You are not on the prosecuting attorney's list as a witness. You are on the defense attorney's witness list, which is Jesus's witness list. We speak well of people. We don't speak negative or ill of people. You understand? You must understand who you are. You're your brother's keeper, so you don't think ill. You don't speak ill. You don't hear no evil. Don't listen. You don't see no evil. You don't speak no evil. Even the three monkeys understood that. Three monkeys understood that. What are you talking about? But they did it. No, the devil did it. The devil is the one behind every problem in a person's life. He's the God of this world. He's the one that sinned from the beginning. He's the one that wants to be like God. He's the one that pushes people around to get on the sin and break spiritual laws. But if you don't get an understanding of that, you're on his side being a serpent's mouth. Do you understand this? So you have to discipline yourself not to speak no evil against people, not to see evil. What do you mean? I'm supposed to see? You're supposed to see who they are in Christ. But if you don't see who you are in Christ, you can't see them as who they are in Christ. So you can't help nobody if you can't see who you are. And that's half people's problem. They ain't sitting up in the pulpit preaching and don't know who they are in Christ and don't believe it. Okay. Enough of that one. I don't want to get on nobody today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can't engage in the battle if you don't understand who the enemy is. I'll say that again. You cannot engage in the battle if you don't understand who the enemy is. One last time. You can't engage in this battle if you don't understand who the enemy is. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. And some of you people don't even understand that. That's why you flap your gums and put all that junk on Facebook that ain't got nothing to do with what Jesus has done for people. You don't intercede for people. You don't pray for people. You just judge people and wag your head and point your fingers. Yeah. And Reverend preaching on folks and talking about people. And you just, yeah. Praise the Lord. I had a good word. You think about somebody else needed to hear that word. Go on somewhere with old foolishness. It's foolishness. The blind leading the blind. If you don't know who you are in Christ. Okay, let me get back to section one. I got 30 minutes. I got to get this done. When you speak the word, you are not fighting in your own strength. Important. When you speak the word, you're not fighting in your own strength. You're fighting in God's strength. The authority is not in your emotions. It is your personality. The authority is in the word of God itself. The devil does not respond to feelings, but he must respond to the word spoken from a heart of faith. You might be feeling bad. I was feeling bad. I was feeling mighty bad, but I knew there was a God when I saw you. I'm sorry. Come back. But just say, Lord, let the weak say I'm strong. The pain say, I know, and you got modern medicine to help with the pain, but you know, get some pain help, but then speak that scripture. I'm healed, ma'am. Jesus healed me. It is my legal right in Christ. It's my benefit. Yes. I thank you, Lord, that your word is working in me, through me, and around me. It is working mightily in me. Thank you, Lord. All righty. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful. It is alive. It is active. It works every time. It is spoken in faith. Its voice activated. When the word comes out of your mouth, it cuts through the lies of Satan. It breaks the strongholds of the enemy. It destroys the enemy's strategies against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every word that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn it. Why? Because your righteousness, your right standing is with God because of Jesus. Your righteousness is of Jesus. That's why it works. And that's your testimony. When the enemy is bringing accusers against you, my righteousness is of Jesus. When you speak the word, you are not fighting in your own strength. I said that, didn't I? Sorry. Yeah. That's a double slide. Continuing on section. We're still at section one. I got two sections today. Tell us. Luke 10:19 tells us that Jesus has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. The authority is activated when we speak the word. Again, I'm saying the same thing, but I want to just keep reinforcing this. Authority is activated when we speak the word. When you enforce the victory, you must enforce the victory Jesus has already won for you. You must enforce it. You must make known to the prince and the power and the earth, heir. That's the church's job. That's your job. The devil cannot override the word. He cannot override the word. He cannot override the word. He cannot stand against the word. He must bow to the word. And when you speak that word, the devil got to bow down, back up, move out. 1 Peter 5:8-9 tells us to resist the devil, steadfast. How? In the faith. Faith speaks. It speaks what it believes about Jesus. Your faith man speaks. Your spirit man speaks. It releases faith what it believes about Jesus. Faith answers. It answers the enemy's accusations against you. Faith responds with the word. Satan loses his access to you when you speak what God has done for you. Glory to God. I said, the devil loses access to you when you speak what God has done for you through Jesus, what Jesus has done for you. Speak the word. Speaking the word is how you resist him and stand your ground. We have a stand your ground law. I'm standing my ground. And I'm going to shoot off this word at you every time you. Pow. I'm standing my ground. That's right. I ain't moving off this word. And the devil can't touch you when you stand your ground in the word. Praise the Lord. Right. Jesus overcame temptation. Fighting temptations. Well, Jesus overcame your temptations. Pressure and every attack of the enemy. Look, he spoke what was written, and this is how you overcome as well. Speak the word. Speaking the word is how you silence the accusations or the accuser in your life. This is how you shut down lies and deal with every strategy of the enemy that comes against you. The word in your heart gives you faith. The word in your mouth gives you victory. Say that again. The word in your heart gives you faith. The word in your mouth gives you victory. The word spoken in faith gives you authority. When the word is in your heart and in your mouth, victory is in your mouth. Say that again. When the word is in your heart and in your mouth, victory is in your mouth. The word of God is your weapon. And when you speak it, heaven backs you up.
Amen.
You're releasing a divine court order. And the angels enforce that word. You have a legal right to what Jesus has done for you. You have a legal right to what Christ died for you to have if you believe it. It is your legal rights in heaven. And the angel backs it up. The Holy Ghost manifests healing in your body because it's your legal right if you believe it. And God himself will make sure you get it. Romans 4:17 reveals God's mode of operation. Section 2, we're going to talk about God's mode of operation. So in Romans 4:17, we get a revelation of God's mode of operation. God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He speaks from the spirit realm. Because he's a spirit. And when he speaks, what he speaks becomes reality. The same way the earth was created by the word that he spoke it into existence, so everything else will be spoken into existence. But he speaks that word on the inside of your heart, and you release it back out. You release that echo back out. Bing! You know, it comes out of you. God, you give voice to his word. Glory to God. He drops it in your spirit, and you give voice to it. It's voice activated. When you believe it, God does not speak based on what he sees. He speaks based on what he has already established in his spirit. He's already established it as so. We serve the God who speaks things. This thing preached pretty good here. I like this, yeah. This thing. I bring back here. I like this thing. Well, I might have to keep this. We serve God who speaks things about us that are not yet visible. This is important. We serve a God who speaks things about us that is not yet visible. It's not yet a reality in our natural. They are truth in our spirit. They are true down on the inside of our spirit. And when we agree with what God has said or spoken or revealed to us in our spirit, even when we cannot see it in the natural yet, he brings it to pass in our lives. Agreement with God is what activates his word to become a reality inside of our lives. Praise God. So now let's look at Romans 4:17 through 22. It says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. So Abraham in the presence of God, nobody was around but him and God. So God's going to speak to you. And in his presence, you believe. Who gives life to the dead? See now, who? I got that in green. Who calls things which do not exist as though they did? Who contrary, this is Abraham, who contrary to hope, he didn't have no natural hope, he believed, in hope he believed. So God's word became his hope. Jesus is the hope. He's the hope of our faith. Glory to God. Many are they that say, there is no hope for you in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Many say there are no. God is the glory and the lifter of my head. He is our blessed hope. Praise God. So you shall, look what he says. He says, who contrary to hope, in hope believes, so that he became the father. See, you're going to become. It's going to become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. What he's speaking in your spirit. What word you standing on that he's showing you in your spirit? It's a scripture, not a cliche, a scripture. Glory to God, get this. He's obligated to his scriptures, not some cliche that you excited some man said that sound good. You don't live by that, you live by scripture. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Ghost is always going to speak in line with what the scriptures are saying to you. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And not just one scripture. He'll start building scripture upon scripture because then now you get, it's like building a building. Like I told you, he built upon that thing and you see that thing. And that thing get bigger and bigger like a baby growing or a plant growing. It didn't keep growing up and becoming. That's why I teach series so that thing can build. You can build up in your spirit. All right, let's get this done here. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. You see that? Since he was about 100 years old. It says he didn't consider his natural condition. See, that's what people, you're considering your natural condition. You're considering your natural ability. You're considering what you got in the bank account to do what God told you to do. No. You ain't never gonna be used by God. Because if you could do it, you can't brag on God. You're gonna brag on yourself. But when he calls you to do something you can't do and it come to pass, you're going to say, God did that, man. I don't know how he did this. Boy, he did that thing. Look at this. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised,
yes,
he was able. Who promised it? God did. And he able. Therefore, it was accounted for righteousness. Glory be to God. Continuing on. This is God's mode of operation I'm talking about here. Section 2. Listen, it is God who calls those things that do not exist in the natural as though they did. God does. 50, faithful, committed, dedicated, see, soul, time, fair members. Where they coming from? I don't know and I don't care. It's none of my business to figure that out. My job is to agree with it. We have standing room only.
Hallelujah.
See, disagree with it. Just say it is so. And it'll show up. But if you get out of faith, it's never going to happen because you won't agree with God. Hold fast to the confession of your faith. Hold fast to the confession of what he said is going to happen in your life. Glory to God. We are not speaking things into existence. You understand this? We're not speaking things into existence on our own. We are speaking and agreeing with what God's word already says we have. Are you getting this? This is important. We are not speaking things into existence on our own. The word is creative power. Just like a woman can't give birth to a baby unless she get the seed first. She has the egg that can be fertilized. Our spirit man can receive the word first. And once that word comes, faith is conceived. Get this. Once the word comes, faith activates that word. And when we speak it, the creative force of God begins to go out. Are you getting that? So we're not doing it on our own. We're just speaking what God has impregnated with us, are implanted in our spirit, and it's creating. We are now operating as co-creators with Christ. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let me back up. So we are speaking and agreeing with what God's word already says we have. Confession means, again, saying the same thing. It means saying the thing God said for us to say. It means saying the thing God said for us to say. Jesus said, life and death and life is in the power of your tongue. So if you love death, you're going to keep speaking death. I love life, so I'm going to speak life. I'm going to eat the fruits of my mouth that I'm speaking. I can't speak for you. Abraham did not consider his own natural condition or said, the second thing I want you to point out, I'm pointing out three things. The second thing is Abraham did not consider his own natural condition or Sarah's natural condition. His impotence, he didn't consider his impotence or her barrenness. He refused to let the natural dictate what God had already promised. I'll say that again. He refused to let the natural dictate to him what God had already promised. Is this making sense to you? Three, he gave God glory by saying what he told him to say and believe what he said when he said it. This response of faith is what made them righteous in the eyes of God. They changed their name. They said who they were. And the people around them said, y'all must be, what's wrong with y'all? First of all, Sarah ain't never been able to have a baby. And dude, you so old now, ain't nothing working. But what? The empowerment of God came on and made it a reality. And that's how we get everything from God. The Holy Spirit comes upon us, empowers us. Grace, favor, angels go to work. Things begin to happen. He just need us to believe it. Continuing on in Psalms 107:2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord, what?
Say so.
There it is. Say so. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Let the redeemer who say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the who? The enemy. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I'm strong.
Amen.
So they're speaking contrary to what they actually feeling. They may be feeling weak, but he said, say I'm strong in the midst of your weakness. Say I can do all things through Christ in the midst of your inabilities. Brother Larry, you ain't caught. I can do all things through Christ And now this anointing is falling on me and things are starting to come in order because I had to get my mind in line with what the word of God said. And then I had to start saying it and believing it in my heart. And now it starts coming to pass because he specializes on calling nobodies that can't do it so that the world can see. Look at what God doing in this place. Bro Larry and Sister Tony, they doing something over there. God's doing it. We ain't doing nothing. We just yielding to him, doggone it.
Amen.
We just yielding. Have your way, Lord Jesus. I know we look foolish to people, but I ain't afraid to look foolish in the eyes of men. All right. So let the weak say that I'm strong. God told the weak people, glory to God. Hallelujah. God told me, he told me to stop. I hear him saying that you've said enough today. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord, for the people that it was for. Father, I ask that you give them understanding in this word so that they can grow in all they are and have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. On Thursday, I'm going to be sharing part three, which is speak the word only. I love you. God loves you. And man, I just pray the blessings of God will overflow you in every area of your life based on what Jesus has provided for you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.